The U.S. holiday of Thanksgiving is my favorite, and I think in many ways the most God-honoring national holiday of which I am aware, at least in its origins, but there's a continuing practice. Perhaps you read the National Proclamation this week by our current president, though it may not have had the depth that we might have desired, it still did call upon us to give thanks to the Lord. And as precious as the Thanksgiving holiday is here in the U.S., Thanksgiving did not begin in the U.S. God's people have continued to give thanks to God for as long as He has done wonderful things for them, which is, of course, always. Please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 107, and we're going to consider this call to give thanks. We're going to look just at the first nine verses of Psalm 107. If we had time, we'd go further, but we won't. Psalm 105 and 106 and 107 are in some ways a trilogy, even though 106 and 107 are divided by the book divisions of the Psalter. So 106 is the last psalm of Book 4, and 107 is the first psalm of Book 5. And yet there still is this flowing theme through the three of them. 105 is a description of Israel's experience from Abraham to the Promised Land. Psalm 106 is really a description in many ways of Israel's unfaithfulness in that time and their exile to Babylon. And then Psalm 107, it seems, is a giving thanks to God for His delivery from exile. And in this call to give thanks that the psalmist calls us to, it's primarily a call by way of encouragement, not by way of command. The psalmist is recounting for the people of God the things that God has done for them. And so my intent, my hope, is that I might encourage you to be a thankful people by recounting the good things that God does for you, His people. Let's read His Word as we consider it. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Having heard from God in His Word, let's seek Him in prayer together. Please join in your hearts as I lead. Our Father in heaven, we do ask that You would, this evening, teach us by Your Spirit and Your Word, that what we go from here remembering would be You and Your works, and that we would be filled, even to overflowing, with thankfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps you've, at times, read portions of the Scripture and you come away maybe a little puzzled. What is it that the Holy Spirit is directing us to in this Scripture text? Well, if we'd had time, if we'd taken the time to read all of Psalm 107, I don't think we would have come away with that uncertainty. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I think we can read the text and come away knowing what it is that the Holy Spirit was directing the psalmist to direct us to. And that is to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Oh, give thanks. I left the title vague. And it begs the question, to whom do we give thanks? But of course, the text tells us immediately, give thanks to the Lord. There's a lessening of the spiritual influence of Christianity on our culture. And there's a movement away from thanksgiving being, first of all, thanks to the Lord. There are those who would say that those first pilgrims met together to give thanks to the Indians. Now, I'm sure they were thankful for the help and the assistance of those Native Americans as they had come into their land. And yet the national proclamations of our land have clearly reflected the call is to give thanks to the Lord. I'd like to read some of the first national Thanksgiving proclamation. This was from the 1777 Continental Congress of the United States. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further benefits, further blessings as they stand in need of, and in having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, it is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please Him graciously to afford His blessing on the governments of these states respectively, and prosper the public council of the whole. A declaration from the governing authorities of this land to give thanks to the Lord, to ask for forgiveness in the name of Christ. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. And for those of us who are in Christ, it may seem unnecessary to emphasize that we're to give thanks to the Lord. But it obviously is necessary because the Lord directed the psalmist to write that. You see, the natural response is not to give thanks to the Lord. The natural response when things go well is to think, well, I'm doing pretty well. Or to look for others to whom we might give thanks. A while back, I retweeted a quote from G.K. Chesterton on Twitter, and the quote was this: "The worst moment for an atheist is when he feels a profound sense of gratitude and has no one to thank." I thought it was thought-provoking. And I received a reply from Peter. His name on Twitter was I Am Atheist Pete. And he said, "Ed Blackwood, what's your point?" And I said, "Peter, just that you deny the existence of the one whom you could thank for beauty and love and life." And he replied, "Thank your parents for giving birth to you so you could witness that beauty. Thank the one who loves you." And I wasn't sure that continuing an apologetic conversation in 140 characters on Twitter was the best use of my time. So I didn't continue, but I thought about what I might have said. Maybe something like this: "Well, who do you thank that you have parents? Who do you thank that you were born? Who do you thank that there is beauty? Who do you thank that there is someone to love you?" Give thanks to the Lord. But then the text not only tells us to whom we're to give thanks, but it tells us why. Many reasons given in the Scripture, I'd like to point out four that I think this text calls us to. Why give thanks to God? First of all, for His glorious perfection. His glorious perfection. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. If you have computer Bible software, search that phrase. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. It occurs at least in 1 Chronicles 16, in Ezra 3, in Psalm 106, verse 1, in Psalm 107, verse 1, in Psalm 118, the first and the last verse, and Psalm 136, the first verse. Give thanks to God, for He is good, for His glorious perfection. Jesus told us there is no one good but God. And the Word of God teaches us that God is light. In Him there is no darkness. God is holy. In Him there is no sin. God is truth. In Him there is no lie. God is good. In Him there is no evil. God is beautiful. In Him there is no ugliness. God is excellent. In Him there is no flaw. Give thanks to the Lord for His glorious perfection. And understand that this gloriously perfect God relates to us. Imagine, if you will, with me for a moment, pick something that you enjoy doing. And maybe it's a sport, maybe it's a craft, maybe it's a particular study that you like to do. And imagine, if you could, someone who you recognize in that field as far better than you. Maybe you want to just stretch your imagination to imagine them the best at that activity or that way of working, that hobby, that sport, whatever it is. And then imagine that they come to you and say, "You like to quilt? I like to quilt. In fact, I'm the national or the world champion quilter for the last 5 years running. I'd like to help you quilt better. I'd like to spend my time helping you quilt or play this sport or that sport or study this field." Imagine that the one whom you regarded as so much better than you and perhaps even the best was willing to spend time with you, to relate to you, to help you. And of course, that maybe hard example pales in comparison to the gloriously perfect God relating to you, His people. Give thanks to the Lord for His glorious perfection. But then give thanks to the Lord for His eternal affection. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. The mercy of our Lord, the loving kindness of our Lord, the covenant affection of God toward us is forever. As a congregation, you've experienced loss upon loss in these last couple of years. That grief and sorrow that comes with death. But there's other sorts of loss that maybe some of you have experienced as well. The estrangement of family members. Divorce or abandonment. And one of the most painful aspects of that kind of loss is that the love and the care and the affection that had been there is now gone. God's mercy, God's loving kindness, God's affection toward us is forever. Forever. It will never fail. It will never end. He will never grow weary of pouring upon you His covenant faithful love. He will never withhold from you His mercy. The love of God will never not be there for you if you're Christ's. Never. Never. Give thanks to the Lord for His eternal affection. His love endures forever. And how are some of the ways that that eternal affection is shown toward us? Well, the third reason that I believe the text calls us to give thanks to the Lord is for what I've called His church-bound redemption. And you may think, well, Pastor, you're in the wrong testament. The church hasn't started yet. Well, I know you better than that. I know your pastors and elders better than that. And you understand the church in the wilderness, at least to some degree, and we all do to some degree. And the text doesn't say church, it uses the term city. But God saves His people from isolation into His city, into the community of His people, into His church. Notice there in verse 4, these people were wandering without a city. They were homeless in the truest sense. They were hungry and thirsty, literally and emotionally and spiritually. They were fainting in their soul, which is the picture of anyone who's apart from Christ. And they cried out to the Lord. And He heard them in their distress. And He gathered them from the east and the west and the north and the south. And He gathered them and He led them by the right way, it says in verse 7, into His city for a dwelling place. Some of you, perhaps better than others of us, know that spiritual wandering, that choosing over and over the wrong way, that looking for God in all and His love in all the wrong places, or more accurately, that ignoring God and His love in all the wrong places, and yet have come to understand the salvation of God through Christ, and God saves His people into His church. Into His church. In the beginning of the New Testament expression of the church, we're told in Acts 2:47 that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God has redeemed you for each other. He has redeemed you into His city, into His church, so that you, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Lafayette, can be the city of God in this place. Not exclusively. We don't think that we're the only true city of God, the only true church of Christ. But you are. We are together as God's people, His city, His church. God is to be thanked because He's redeemed you into His church. And the result of the redemption of God is soul satisfaction. He satisfies the longing soul. What is it that you most long for in your soul? It's getting close to Christmas, and maybe some of you children have a Christmas wish list. Maybe some of you adults have a Christmas wish list. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a Christmas wish list. Unless you make that thing what you believe will satisfy your soul. You see, we can do that. You know, if I could just get the newest smartphone or the newest computer. I've spent more money on computers than I have cars, so I know that longing. If I could just have this, if I could just have that, then my soul would be satisfied. Oh, people of God, don't fall for that trap of the devil. Don't be fooled by the glitter and glitz and the clever rhetoric of advertisements. What is it that you most long for? It must be God through Christ. He satisfies the longing soul. A friend in Australia who, as far as I know, is still wandering from the Lord, but for a time was meeting with me regularly for Bible study, and began coming to church. And he said, I'm going to church because I've tried everything else with no success. And I had hope that he would find Christ, the Christ of whom he's heard for most of his life. He hasn't yet. I still have hope. He was looking for something to satisfy his soul. But nothing will satisfy our souls apart from the Lord. Jesus saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And so Matthew records that he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find, through God in Christ, satisfaction for your souls. And you will find it only in Christ. Give thanks to the Lord for His perfection, His affection, His redemption and satisfaction. But I want to call us to one more thing in the text. How to give thanks. How are we to give thanks? Well, we're to say it. It may seem obvious to say that, and yet the text tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. My dad said in his younger days, and I'd like to ask him to get more of the details clear in my head, that they would occasionally come together as a church body and have say-so meetings. Maybe we'd call them a time of sharing testimonies of God's grace. Based on this text, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God has redeemed me in Christ, and I am overflowing with thanks. And it's never enough to be only thankful on the inside. We're to say our thanks to God. We're to express our thanks to God. To tell God that we're thankful. And why don't we more? Maybe we're embarrassed with the reality of our life. We know that we don't always live as redeemed people. Maybe we're embarrassed before God, or maybe we're embarrassed before others. They've seen my life. How can I claim that God has redeemed me and I'm overflowing with thankfulness where I so often fall away and don't live as a redeemed person? Well, remember that you're redeemed. If you're redeemed, tell God you're thankful for your redemption. Say so. But sometimes I think we're just too busy. We just can't be bothered. You'll know, most of you, if not all of you, the account in Luke 17. Jesus heals 10 lepers. And He gives them instruction and they go away. And one of them, a Samaritan, turns around and comes back. And falls before Christ. Overflowing with thankfulness. And Jesus says, where are the 9? Were not 10 healed? And there is none to give thanks except this foreigner. Let's not be the 9. Let's be the 1. Remembering the goodness of God toward us. Oh, that men and women and boys and girls would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. How do you give thanks to the Lord? You say it. But secondly, how do you give thanks to the Lord? You sing it. Did you know that this is a song? This is a song written by God for His people to sing. I know you know that. I came across, when we were in Kansas for Tamara's wedding this summer, a program called Explore the Bible. It's a development of the Southern Baptist Church, their publishing arm. And it said this, among other things, the Bible has given us an incredible worship set. Many of the Psalms are song lyrics to be sung. And then they promoted 3 particular Psalms, and they had with this promotion a Bible study in these 3 Psalms, sheet music for these 3 Psalms, and lyrics and an MP3 to be sung with so that you could learn to sing these 3 Psalms. And they said, imagine studying the Scripture with your congregation and then singing those same words back to God. And it kind of makes me giggle. But it also makes me glad. Even if they don't have the same convictions that we do, they see the preciousness of the Word of God and of singing God's Word back to Him. Psalm 107 was written so that we would sing our thanks to God. And sometimes it's in the singing that our soul is changed. Sometimes it's in the singing that we're drawn to the Lord and we're lifted up and we're reminded of the good things that God has done. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe it happened to you even this evening. You come to church, the worries of the week past and the trouble that you're borrowing for the week forward are heavy on your heart. And yet sometimes, as we sing both to the Lord and to each other, the singing of the praise of God draws our soul in joy to the Lord. You see, singing often changes the way we feel. There was a group that I was involved with in Australia. I try not to identify them very much on the off chance that they would ever listen to this message. But we'd get together and do something, I'll just leave it at that, once a week. And after we did our thing, we'd have a little refreshment time. And if anybody had a birthday in the group, they'd sing happy birthday. And it was the worst singing you could possibly imagine. I can't describe it enough for you to understand how terrible it was. People singing different keys, different tune, different rhythm. I didn't know where to jump in. So I just sang the tune that I think Happy Birthday's written to. And it was horrible singing, but at the same time, it was lovely. Because they didn't care if they couldn't sing. They wanted to express honor to the one whose birthday they were celebrating. And they didn't think, oh, man, I can't sing. I don't know how to sing. They just sang. I mean, I think you could call it singing. But there was an expression of joy. There was an expression of honor. There was an expression of togetherness, even though their singing wasn't together at all. And in some ways, I think that captures what we should be doing as we come to sing praise to God. Some of you sing better than others. Of course, that means some of you sing worse than others, but sing. Sing your praise to the Lord. My mother couldn't sing very well. But I miss singing with my mother. God calls us to sing our thanks to Him for His goodness and for His wonderful works to men and women, to boys and girls. Oh, that we would say and that we would sing our thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to us, His children. Pray with me and then let's sing to His praise together. Lord, thank You that You, the perfect God, have stooped down to meet with us, to relate to us in our miserable condition, to hear our cry in distress and answer, to pour out Your affection and love toward us forever, to redeem us into Your church, to satisfy our very soul. May we overflow with thankfulness in this season of thanksgiving and out of this season of thanksgiving. May we give thanks to You for Your goodness and for Your wonderful works to the children of men. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.